When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
So that's a tough question. So yes, and we talk referring to prior to moving to the state of Florida or after?
After.
No, I was not aware of that.
When did you see this patient in follow-up?
It was the second week of December of 2015. Actually, it was on her birthday.
Okay. And I believe that's Defense
December 10th.
3031-007. Not the James Bond, but the page number. If you need to look at your note, Doctor, I believe you'll see it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
When you saw her in follow-up in December, what additional history did you get at that time?
So the first part of the that page just gives you a kind of a summary. I tend to do that for providers that might want access to the notes. So it kind of just summarizes what has transpired in the initial visit, and then I move on to anything that's new since we've last seen them. At that point, we did have records received because we had requested several. And I believe it was at that time and that I may have received notice between the first allergist she saw and the second visit to the first allergist, which was Dr. Windham. There was a lot that went on in that period of time. And someone wrote a note that she had been to Lori Children's for another opinion. I think it had to do with her cortisol level. So there was some concern that there may have been adrenal suppression. When you go on high-dose steroids for extended periods of time, you will literally suppress your adrenal gland. Your natural cortisol is produced by an organ within your gut cavity. The brain sends signals to that cavity, to that organ, to tell it produce more, produce less. But if you give it outside long enough, it'll stop sending that signal. The problem with that is if you stop administering that steroid, you'll go into adrenal shock. So it's a dangerous situation to be in. So I'm assuming that they were seeking a second opinion at Lori Children's because that was the hospital when she was a child and growing up in Chicago. I'm not sure if that was true. I don't have any records of that.
Okay, so you never saw any records from Lori Children's?
Just mentioned on one of the notes.
And you were never told what the discharge diagnosis from Lori Children's was?
No, sir.
Okay. And I'm assuming you were never told what the discharge diagnosis from Tampa General was?
from
Tampa General.
I wasn't aware of the Tampa General. I'm sorry, let me correct myself. All I heard was that she had undergone rehabilitation at Tampa General.
Okay. And were you aware of the discharge diagnosis?
No, sir. I just was told it was rehabilitation at Tampa General, and it had something to do with her cortisol level.
Okay. When you saw her on this day in follow-up, did you do an examination at that time?
Yes, sir.
And what did your examination reveal?
Completely normal physical examination.
Okay. Did you note any color changes or rashes on the skin?
No, sir.
And did you get any history of any episodes of dizziness or weakness or lightheadedness with the patient?
The second visit, I don't recall that coming up as a part of the history. The first, there was. There was a persistent headache throughout the visit, on the first visit, and I believe there was also dizziness described.
Okay. Now, did after you had conducted your examination and your history and physical, and you looked at some records, I'm assuming, from her past here, did you arrive at any opinions or conclusions regarding her immune status?
First or second visit?
Second visit.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And what was that?
That she... May I explain?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're the only one who can.
Okay. So...
Objection to narrative response.
Overruled.
There are numbers that we follow in any lab work that you have done. I'm sure you know some of us have had those done. And there are some values that are considered above normal or below normal. And the lab does that. It gives you a certain range. So if you go to one lab, you're going to get one range. You go to another lab, you get another range. And typically we follow that as a tool. It helps guide us to determine whether there's a problem with your liver, spleen, or an immune problem. With immune deficiencies, there are international standards that we follow or try to follow. There are also some national standards that we follow. The numbers, when you look at a lab, may appear to be grossly abnormal. Okay, so you'll have I'm just going to make a number up for y'all folks. Let's say, you know, the normal for you know, 9-year-old of an immunoglobulin G should be, you know, according to the lab, 600 to 1200. That's what they'll put on as a normal. 600, low, 1200. Now she's a 550. Is that considered abnormal? Okay. So that's the question that you ask the immunologist. My short answer is it's not abnormal. And the reason for that is because, Kurt, there's very specific criteria that we have to follow to determine whether an individual has a deficiency or not. And if I may, just briefly to the
sure.
jury.
And while you're doing that, I'm going to ask that 3031-009 be put up. That's where your lab values are, in case you need to refer to those.
Okay, so...
down the bottom.
Right, I see that. Okay, so I want you to see that there were two numbers that were given to us. And the reason two numbers during the same lab draw are different is lab. So one lab, the same lab did the total IgG, the immunoglobulin G, the total, and then something called subclasses. So total IgG is broken down into four components, and they're numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? So one set of numbers gives you a low total with a low IgG 1 and 2. That was the subclasses that were done. On the other hand, the doctor also ordered separately a total IgG. Now we have two discrepant numbers, one same draw, same person. So we have a 575 on one number, and we have a 603. I see those numbers and they're staggering because there's a significant difference between one and the other. You know, one of them appears to be not grossly abnormal, but just decreased, and the other one appears normal. So just for the record, these two numbers are normal for an immunologist. But so criteria number one is you take that, you measure that value. You want that immunoglobulin G. Yes, you can order the subclass because oftentimes one of them will drag the total down, right? Because the top is the sum of all the little ones. But the general consensus, and these are international immunology society regulated rules.
Objection bolstering.
Sustained.
They have to reprieve it again.
Well, one of the things. Let Mr. Hunter ask another question.
Oh, You can't make reference to outside sources.
I'm sorry. Apologize.
So if you just tell the jury what these labs meant based on your experience in training.
Sure. So based on my experience, a single digit is just a reason for me to wait, based on current standards, a minimum of 2 to 3 months and repeat them again. Because standards are, there has to be a minimum of 2 separate draws with a minimum of 2 to 3 months between each. But that's just one of 3 criteria.
Okay. So at the close of all this, and your second visit with this patient, and the labs and records and so forth that you had the opportunity to review, did you arrive at any opinion or conclusion that you were able to share with the patient and her mother regarding whether or not she had an immunodeficiency?
I was, yes, sir.
And what was that opinion?
My opinion was that either Maya had something we call transient hypogammaglobulinemia of infancy and childhood, which is a transient type of deficiency we see, and it normalizes over time, or that she did not. Personally, with a normal immune response to the vaccines that she had and the rest of her lab work, to me, she was normal. She had no other immunodeficiencies. Typically, you have other immunoglobulins that are reduced. You don't have an adequate vaccine response. Those are the other 2 criteria that are required for you to be diagnosed as immune deficient. So I explained this to her at that visit.
And to state that a different way, did you determine that she had any immunodeficiency that required follow-up treatment?
No, sir.
Okay. Did you arrive at any other opinions or conclusions regarding her condition and matters that should be addressed in her care?
Yes, sir.
And what were those?
Okay, so the first is, we'll start from Morgan Systems. The first is this asthma history. We deal with asthma. That's part of our training as well. We rely on tools to help us make a determination whether someone has a disease or not. We do that with every disease. The reason why we rely on tools is because we have to have not only the history provided by a parent or a child, but also we need to have some objective measures. You have to always have something to help you guide you and determine whether there's a disease there, because there's a lot of mimickers of asthma, lots of them, and nothing added up here. Pulmonary function tests were normal. I was only unfortunately able to see one, that Dr. Kreisman, who's a pulmonologist, or I'm not sure if he's still at All Children's, put on in the records. And there's also mentions of normal pulmonary function testing throughout the visits. So from a respiratory standpoint, unfortunately, I could not make an intelligent decision that she actually had asthma. That's the first thing. With regards to the allergies, yes, Maya had allergies based on skin testing performed by an allergist. But to me, that was secondary. At the time, I think we were dealing with much bigger medical problems that I think needed to prioritize over allergies.
Okay.
And then the last item, with the concern about the chronic the CRSP, is that I'm not a neurologist. She talked about RSD. She talked about a lot of problems, neurological problems that might be wrong with Maya. I specifically told her that was way outside of my wheelhouse, and I'm out of my lane, and I'm not an expert on that, and she'd have to talk to her primary care or neurologist about that.
Okay. Were you aware that her primary physician was Dr. Wasnauer?
So I only was aware of Dr. Wasnauer because his name comes up. Our records, we provide all primary doctors with notes. Whether you refer them to us or not, as a courtesy, every primary doc gets a letter. Sometimes the patients will not provide us that name, so it's just left blank. But as a general rule, they do give us the name, and we provide them with a letter. So that's the only knowledge I have of him, because he did get my letters. We did request records from him and never received.
Okay. And did you send him any information about your consultations with this patient?
Every visit, yes. And our assessment, yes.
Were there any other considerations that you called to his attention?
Yes, sir.
And what was that?
So physicians are trained to be alert on anything that that might be of, should we say, harm to a child. Right? Any risk, any concerns that may come up during a visit. It could be a variety of different things. The one item that was of concern at the time because of some events, some things that I saw during the office visit with her, from my reading of the documents I received prior to her second visit, I can only use the word did not add up. And so my concern was that this might be fictitious and not true events that were occurring. Either way, I wanted the primary doctor to dwell further and see if there is a neurological problem with her or not. I was basically telling him, hey, you need to find out if this is true or not, because this is harmful for her. She's wheelchair bound, she's in pain in my office, and that's the last I've heard of the Kozlowskis.
And so what specifically did you call Dr. Wozniak's attention in that regard?
I'm sorry?
What specifically did you call to Dr. Wozniak's attention in that regard?
So I was concerned about Munchausen by proxy at the time.
Okay, and why was it?
Because the symptoms, the physical examination, the objective tests that I've reviewed and medical records did not correlate with the story I was getting from mom.
In what respect? Can you be more specific?
So there was the first is the numerous lower respiratory complaints, the asthma picture, the severe asthma. That was used a lot in a lot of the notes. Severe asthma, severe asthma, severe asthma. Like I said, in my experience, we have someone with severe asthma admitted to a hospital for a few days and comes out with normal breathing tests, completely normal spirometry. The lung doesn't work that way. I'm just being honest with you. When you get to a severe case, there are some changes that take place within lung tissue. Your lungs will start over time sort of scarring within the bronchial tubes. That's why individuals that are not treated early on adequately will get worse over time. You can improve their ability to breathe with medications, but the breathing test was always going to show you some degree of changes in the lungs. There's always going to be there. I looked at the PFTs, the doctor from Old Children, Dr. Kreisman, provided in his notes, and they were completely normal. So that was just one event. There were other severe asthma, and the most striking and most concerning was the numerous steroids utilized, both inhaled, oral, and in injectable forms in various ER visits, clinic visits, provider. And in fact, she actually had access to, I believe, to steroids at home that she could provide her at will.
Strike.
Okay, members of the jury, you are to disregard the last comment about home steroids. Mr. Hunter, you may continue.
Doctor, have we ever met?
I'm sorry?
Have we ever met? You and I ever met?
No, sir.
Have we ever spoken?
No, sir.
You wouldn't?
You gave a deposition in this case, you recall?
Yes, sir.
Right. And I guess you couldn't help but notice how emphatic you were here in front of the jury. You wanted to really convince the jury of what you were saying, right?
I'm sorry. Can you ask that question again, please?
Yes. I noticed you were quite emphatic. You were trying to convince the jury of things you were saying, were you not?
That's not correct, sir.
All right.
I'm going to sustain the objection.
After the deposition, when the different lawyers were still on the line for ordering the deposition transcript, I want you to tell the jury whether you had a discussion with one of those lawyers in which you said words to the effect of, I did my very best for you, I hope I helped.
Objection.
Did you say that to him?
No, sir.
Objection, Your Honor. Proper impeachment.
I'm going to sustain the improper impeachment objection. You can continue along this line if you want.
Did you? I'm just simply asking you, sir, did you have a discussion with the defense counsel at the conclusion of the deposition while the lawyers were talking about ordering the depositions where you said words to the effect of, I hope I helped you, I did my best to help you, or words to that effect?
Objection, Your Honor. May we approach him? May he show the witness what he's
referring to? I do not recollect those comments.
The answer is we don't need to approach on that. Overrule the objection.
And you are aware, are you not, that...
He said he didn't recollect. So are you going to refresh his recollection, or are you moving on?
I have other evidence that will be as part of our rebuttal.
All right.
Witnesses. And you are aware that Munchausen by proxy, that reflex sympathetic dystrophy, and you know that's also known as CRPS, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're aware of that?
Yes, sir.
And you are aware that it is often misdiagnosed as a psychiatric condition, particularly in children, right? Are you aware of that?
So I understand the question correctly. You're asking me if I'm aware that CRPS is often misdiagnosed as a psychiatric condition. Is that the question?
Especially in children.
And my short answer is no, because you mentioned the word often, and I'm not sure that that's accurate.
All right. Well, certainly then you do keep up with the laws that come into effect regarding... I'm going to have to approach before I finish this question. By proxy and other psychosomatic, that CRPS is often mistaken as a psychosomatic condition, psychiatric condition.
So again, I respectfully disagree with the often confused with, and I'm not sure it's often.
Okay. So. Well, you are suggesting that you saw signs of Munchausen by proxy, is that right?
What I said earlier was that I saw signs of symptoms that did not correlate with the treatment plans that have been provided in the past.
All right. And where did you get that information from?
From the records that were reviewed by other, that were sent to me by other physicians at Senior.
Including Dr. Kreisman?
Yes.
And Dr. Kreisman, I assume you determined, was the primary prescriber of the steroids?
I disagree with that comment as well. I'm not sure he's the primary prescriber. I just know he's one of the treating physicians.
Well, was he a prescriber of the steroids or not?
On the notes that I read, I do not recollect that, no, sir.
Okay. Now, if you needed to know about whether a child had asthma, actually witnessing it would be a good idea, right?
No, sir.
You don't need to witness the actual cough to know whether or not a child may have asthma?
There's a lot of other causes of cough, sir, that are not necessarily asthma.
Mm-hmm. So if I were to show you an actual cough of the child, would that allow you to see whether or not this child had asthma?
Would not, even if you showed it to me.
Right. Okay. So would a diligent parent seeing a very disturbing cough be in the doing the right thing to bring it to the attention of a physician?
I totally agree, yes, sir.
Overruled on that one.
And then, if we could, with the courts, it's in evidence, show exhibit 2616.
If it's in evidence, yes.
Could you not clap, please?
Now, with a 9-year-old girl exhibiting a cough like that, you would agree that it would be reasonable for a parent to want to search for any probable possible causes, would you not?
Yes, sir.
So, Brianna Kowalski, by trying to find the solution, if you will, is the correct diagnosis and treatment, that would not be unusual, would it?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question again?
Beata Kowalski, as a parent, hearing a child with that level of coughing, it would not be outside the bounds of normal parental behavior to try to find out the source of that cough, true?
It would not be, no.
And it would not be beyond the bounds of normal parental behavior to try to find a treatment for that cough, would it?
You're talking about professional treatment? No, not at all.
And so, in going after and trying to find this out, she would not be doing anything that you felt was inappropriate, right?
At this point, from the way that hurt that cough, I'm moving forward? No.
All right. Okay. So, what is, certainly you've talked about here and felt strongly enough, I guess, to write a letter. But, by the way, did you ever talk to Dr. Kreisman about your concerns that this might all be psychosomatic?
He's not the primary physician.
Did you ever talk to Dr. Wasserman?
I sent them a letter twice explaining that. Well, the first second time, rather.
If you were really, and you, so you didn't get a response, right?
Did not, no, sir.
All right. And you never called anyone from the state, did you?
Just because I suspected, with the information I had, I personally, at the time, I did not feel I had to report it. I wanted the primary to be aware of it.
My question then is, did you call the primary care physician and have a discussion with him?
No, sir. That's not customary of me. Not in that situation.
I thought you testified on direct that it was customary, that you would contact...
I specifically said, if we go back to what I said, is that every physician, primary care physician, receives correspondence from me. On every visit that I see in my office, the only exceptions are when a patient does not, or parent, does not give us the name of the primary care physician.
Tell us then what the facts there that you took from the history with Beata Kowalski that were significant to you, that she uttered to you there, either visit.
So I want you to explain to me what you mean by facts, sir.
Well, what were the key facts in the history that you found pertinent to trying to come to some conclusions, including this one?
That she has, her daughter has always been ill, that her daughter has been in pain from some neurological problem, that she has severe asthma, that she has an immune deficiency, and what else? And that she has allergies.
All right. And so, allergies. All right. And first, with allergies, did it come to your attention that other physicians had diagnosed her with allergies?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Did it come to your attention that other physicians had diagnosed her with asthma?
I did not have evidence to substantiate that.
Subsequently, did you obtain evidence of that?
I obtained evidence that did not show that she had asthma.
Did you ever talk to any of the physicians at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital to see whether asthma was listed as one of her illnesses?
My role in all this is to determine whether Maya at the time was immune deficiency. The rest of the information available in history taking is to determine whether there's some correlation between diseases and her apparent immune deficiency. So the answer is no. We do not proceed with any other disorder that I might encounter during my history taking. That is passed down to the primary care physician in writing.
I understand. And then she told you that the child had pain, correct?
Pain and cramping on the legs, I believe it was.
Uh-huh. And you said you inspected her, counsel asked you about her skin. Did you look at her lower back?
No, sir.
Did you look at the inside of her thighs?
No, sir.
Did you look on the inside of her ankles?
Yes, sir.
Did you look then on her neck or upper back?
No, sir.
The inside of her arms?
Anything that was visible during office visit is what we usually put down. I'm not a dermatologist. My role is strictly what I can see. I'm not going to address a patient and do a full physical. That's out of my scope of my job.
So whether she had CRPS lesions at that time or not, you would not be in a position to state. True?
I'm sorry, whether she has?
CRPS lesions. You would not be in a position to state.
I am not familiar with CRPS lesions.
All right. And so then what was the final one there? The daughter had been sick, right?
Correct.
And you knew that the daughter had been taken, among others, to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital for various emergency room visits, correct?
I did not have that information, no.
Right. So, out of all of these, can you tell us now, do you know what DSM-5 is?
That's the most recent DSM, yes.
And what is DSM?
The American Psychiatric Association has a manual, so to speak, that provides you with diagnosis code of various behavioral and psychiatric diagnoses.
Yeah.
They're up to the fifth edition.
All right. But what does DSM MD stand for?
Oh, if I can recollect, again, I'm not a psychiatrist. It stands for, and I don't recall off the top of my head, I apologize.
All right, so having been raised concerns about this, tell us which of the four factors you focused on to come to the conclusion that Munchausen syndrome by proxy must be suspect.
Objection, proper impeachment, Your Honor. Overruled.
You can answer.
So which of the above is what you're telling me that I derived on? Obviously, the main reason for the visit was...
I'd like to know under the DSM-5 categories, the four primary categories for diagnosing Munchausen by proxy, or now factitious disorder on another. Which ones did you focus on?
One.
And which one was that?
Where there's no correlation between the symptoms and signs presented by the parent and the objective findings that you may have, whether it's radiology or lab work or whatever objective labs or procedures you have available.
The parent told you the child was ill, correct?
That's correct.
The child was moaning.
I'm sorry, the child was?
Moaning.
That's correct.
You had confirmed with other physicians that there are allergies.
What does moaning and pain have to do with allergies? I'm sorry, I lost that.
All right. Well, I'm just trying to find out which of these four now, we're talking about the DSM categories, which of these four are you saying that Beata Kowalski lied to you about?
So if you all read my notes, both notes, and I have to expand on this, Your Honor, if you don't mind.
Go ahead and answer the question.
To answer the question, I have to explain. See, he's looking at a very narrowed comment. You have to look at the whole visit. There was a change from moaning and discomfort on the first visit to normalcy, which I thought was striking. The first time I get it, there was something wrong with it. That's why we requested records. The second time, it was complete opposite behaviors. Wheelchair bound, on a laptop, very happy, very distracted with whatever she was doing at the time. And I remember specifically, this is where it hit me, when I talked about how the workup that I had done did not prove immunodeficiency, and I wasn't aware of how I could explain everything else going on, and then she went into this phase of crying, and my ear hurt, and I have a headache. So after that was over, and I tried to find out what was wrong with her, and I tried to ask mom, are you okay? Then when the visit was over, as she's wheeled out to the waiting area, everything normal again. So you asked me about that narrow comment you made. I'm looking at a whole picture that led me to believe there's something not right about this. That's all.
Well, tell me then what the primary symptom then is under DSM-5. Strike it. Do you have any information whatsoever that Beata Kowalski falsified any fact?
I'm sorry. Okay, let me reframe that question. So you're asking me if I'm aware that, that Mrs. Kowalski lied about...
Doctor, what I'm asking you is whether you have any direct evidence that Beata Kowalski, based on your two visits with her, falsified to you any fact.
No, sir.
And can you remember whether the first element of Munchausen by proxy leads off with falsification of physical or psychological signs?
Do you actually remember that off? For use of an authoritative source?
Okay. Would, yeah, sustain that one.
Would it refresh your recollection to show you the DSM-5 in that regard?
So you're giving me one of four. So just to...
Hold on, before you answer, why don't you all approach?
First, do you recognize the Diagnostic Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5, as authoritative on Munchausen by proxy, now known as factitious disorder imposed on another?
I believe that the term utilized now is known as medical child abuse, and it's not fictitious. So I believe the more recent diagnosis is different. But I'm not familiar with the manual as it is outside of the scope of my practice.
So whether I showed this to you or not, you wouldn't know what the elements were?
You can tell me what the elements are, but it's beyond the scope. All I can tell you is we are trained, if we see anything that we may perceive as harmful to a child, that we have an obligation to pass out that information to someone. And my first person was the primary care physician, who knows that patient more than anyone else.
Would you like to see, would it refresh your recollection to see the very first words on the diagnosis of a factitious disorder imposed on another?
Objection, proper foundation.
I do not feel that just looking at one item of four is going to help us change our gut instinct of us feeling that you may have in a child in your office that you feel might have been in danger. And I'm being honest.
Mr. Hunter? Members of the jury, any questions? Okay, given the number of notes being submitted, once all the notes are collected, I'm going to ask you to go back to you. The room. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jurors exiting.
Jury is out of our presence. Dr. Mendez, I need you to step outside. Okay. Thanks. Let's get Dr. Mendez as well while we're working at it. Please be seated. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation, received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
And none of you saw any media accounts about this case since you were last with us? And no one approached you. Is that correct?
Correct.
And just to remind you, I did discuss these questions with the lawyers outside the presence of the witness. Doctor, the jury has several questions for you. Did the doctors at All Children's Hospital think that Maya had asthma and treat her with it?
Are we referring to the pulmonologist, Dr. Kreisman?
Do the best you can to answer the question.
So I don't have records from All Children's Hospital. I want to be clear. The only records I received was from Dr. Kreisman. from the visit after she was discharged from the hospital. And then the question is, do I have evidence that she had asthma?
Did the doctors at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital think that Maya had asthma and treat her with it?
So based on the records, there's a normal spirometry, meaning breathing, the pulmonary function test was normal, but he had advised to continue on an inhaler that was prescribed in a course of tapering corticosteroids.
Before you saw Maya, did you know what CRPS was and how it affects people?
It's a great question. To some degree, I have a lot of veterans in my practice. I see adults and pediatrics. That's the treating we have. It's not just pediatrics. So we would have folks that come in with some complex pains that I would hear from the VA notes of the possibility that they may have CRPS. But I wasn't familiar with the disease. I just know they complain about kind of phantom pains and burning sensation on skin. That's my only recollection of that disease.
Did you notice any signs or lab numbers that showed Maya was getting ketamine treatments?
That's a great question. So let me try to explain. So I wasn't aware she was receiving ketamine treatments until the second visit. Was there anything that I would expect? I have no idea. I'm not familiar with ketamine treatments in the U.S. to begin with. I was surprised that she had gone to Mexico to have that done. So my short answer is no. I'm not aware of any abnormal labs that might be linked to some treatment she received outside of the country.
Did you ask or know why Maya was in a wheelchair?
Yes, sir. We did on the first visit, and she did tell me that there was pain and spasms is what she was describing. She did mention she mentioned the word RDS when we first met. However, I wasn't familiar with the disease. I had an idea of what it might be, but I clearly said it's outside of my scope, and I think I alluded to that in my notes. You know, have follow-up with primary care or neurology for these because I don't know how to manage those.
The next question. I see you had concern of possible Munchausen syndrome by proxy enough to document in Maya's medical record. As a mandatory reporter in the state of Florida, did you call and report this to CPS?
That's a great question. And the reason I didn't do so, and I apologize if I didn't allude to this in the past, you can have hunch instincts of things. I'm the one guy who's seen this person twice in my office with an extensive medical history, and I reached out to the one person who would know from any other specialist that has seen this child will have an idea of what's going on with her. I'm just, like I said, one small part of her life in that less than a year that she was having these symptoms. So my reach out was not to the state, sir. It was actually reaching out to the primary doc. Listen, is this something that you've considered? That was all. I don't want to report something like this where I'm not 100% certain that that's what's going on. It was a red flag, basically, is what I'm sending out there.
Okay. Well, you already answered the why not question, so we'll move on to the next one. Doctor, you mentioned your training and specialties. In any of those specialties, was CRPS, or the older term that it is known as, was this CRPS part of those specialties?
Good question, and the answer is no. Understand, we're referring to the allergy immunology, we're referring to both allergy and pediatrics. I'm not sure, but let's assume we're looking at both. The short answer would be no. RDS, to be quite honest with you, at my time of training, probably was just like fibromyalgia, other diseases where we think there's something there, but we don't have evidence of substantiated or objective ways of treating it. So my short answer is no, we do not.
And this next question is similar to another juror's questions. Upon your first meeting with Maya in October 2015, Maya was in a wheelchair. Do you recall what was Maya or Beata's explanation for the need of a wheelchair?
Well, similar to what I said earlier, I wasn't given a diagnosis until towards the end, where she mentioned RDS. But she was through the we do a review of systems, so we kind of go over each organ and ask questions. And that came up as part of her neurological, that she does have spasms and pains. And also, I think she mentioned headaches. And she corrected me and said that headaches are part of RDS.
During the December visit, Was Maya in a wheelchair on that visit?
Yes, she was. Unlike the previous visit, she was in no pain or distress. She was on an iPad. I remember clearly because I thought it was pretty neat that she was actually doing a Word document. So I don't know if she was writing a story or something. It just struck me as a young kid doing that. That was pretty neat.
On this December visit, was any or were any pain issues mentioned as like the visit's initial daily interview?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
Yeah, let me just read it verbatim. On this December visit, was any pain issues mentioned as possibly the visit's initial daily interview?
No, it was not. That did not come up. The purpose of the second visit, as it always usually is to follow up on anything that I do and to review the records. And she did bring additional records to that visit, but it was not mentioned at all. She did go into, like I said, some sort of a spasm towards the end of the visit when I was giving her a summary of my findings, and I thought that was kind of odd.
When you said spasm, you mean Maya or Mrs.?
Maya did, yeah.
During the December visit, did you see any signs of dystonia?
No. So, assuming we're referring to dystonia as muscle cramping or some changes associated with muscle cramping, usually the lower legs are the more common. That's what we're referring to. I did not. There was a physical examination done on both visits, and both visits did not correlate with any. Again, from the best of my abilities, I don't do a full neurological exam. I'm not a neurologist, but I did not see any joint aches and pains when I examined her. I did not see from visible skin lesions at all. So my short answer is I did not.
Was Maya in long or short pants?
Ooh, that's a great question. I'm trying to remember. I remember I was able to see her ankles. That's all I can tell you, and I believe she may have had not long or short pants. What do they call them? Capris? So short, yeah. That's what I remember. It's 8 years ago. I'm sorry, guys.
Was she wearing socks, shoes, sandals, flip-flops?
Do not recall that part, no. And I don't believe she was wearing footwear, but I just don't remember the top of my head.
Next question. And this was prefaced as a yes or no from the juror. You mentioned that based on your examination of Maya and reviewing of testing results, you came to believe Maya suffered from Munchausen syndrome by proxy or similar term?
And you're asking for a yes and no answer?
You can expound, but why don't you first start off with yes or no?
It cannot be a yes and no answer. I can only say suspect, and I'm required to raise a red flag somewhere. I have to reach out for somebody to help.
How many cases of Munchausen by proxy had you encountered up until 2015?
This is probably my second in my career, so that would be two.
That completes the asking of the juror questions. Mr. Hunter, do you have anything in follow-up? Mr. Anderson, do you have anything in follow-up?
So you defer to Dr. Wassenauer on as to whether there really was Munchausen by proxy or not.
True. In my letter, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any follow-up to that? Members of the jury, any further follow-up? Okay, may this doctor be released?
Yes, by plan.
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Sir, thank you very much. Defense, your next witness, please.
We call Dr. Jennifer Katzenstein.
Can you raise your right hand?
I do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you could introduce yourself to the jury, please.
My name is Jennifer Katzenstein.
Okay. And what's your profession?
I'm a pediatric neuropsychologist.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what it, the road to becoming a pediatric neuropsychologist.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have
yeah, so there's a, you might need to...
get closer?
Yeah, sit a little closer to the microphone, pull it near you. There you go. Start at basics. Let's see if everyone can hear you. Introduce yourself to the jury.
My name is Jennifer Katzenstein.
I think that's going to work.
Better? Okay.
A pediatric neuropsychologist, where did you go to undergrad?
I went to undergraduate school at Lafayette College.
Okay. And what did you graduate with?
Bachelor's of Science in Neuroscience.
And then after you graduated with your Bachelor of Science in Neuroscience, where did you go to school next?
I went to graduate school for my master's and my doctorate degree at Purdue's campus in Indianapolis.
Okay. And did you achieve your doctorate?
I did.
Not to age you, but I got to ask, what year did you graduate?
2008.
Okay. Well, and after you graduated, where did you go next?
I went to fellowship, which is a two-year placement at Texas Children's Hospital in Houston, Texas.
Okay. Maybe you could look to the jury and explain to them, what is a fellowship training? What does that entail?
So for psychology, it's similar to physicians. We spend 1 year as an intern at a placement somewhere across the country in order to get your degree. And then after that, you have to have a number of supervised hours to be able to be considered license eligible across the country. And so for me and for pediatric neuropsychology, we're required to have a two-year placement in order to be board eligible. So that was my 2 years of training after my degree was completed.
Did you achieve board certification?
I've achieved board certification by the American Board of Professional Psychology in both clinical neuropsychology and subspecialty in pediatric neuropsychology.
And you retain those board certifications too?
I do.
Okay. What's your focus?
My focus as a pediatric neuropsychologist is on how the brain impacts behavior and cognitive functioning, and how we can best support children in determining their educational and vocational needs based upon their cognitive strengths and weaknesses.
Okay. So, how long have you been working at All Children's Hospital?
I've been working at All Children's for just over 8 years.
Okay. So, if we work backwards, do you remember when you started, what year?
July 2015.
Great. All your work is in pediatrics?
All of my work has been in pediatrics.
Are you familiar in general with the diagnosis of pain as a component of pediatric disorders?
I am.
What percentage of your practice is devoted to working with children who have pain?
That's challenging to say because kids have varying levels of pain throughout multiple different types of medical treatments. So I would say many of my patients have some level of pain as it relates to their medical history or their current medical treatments.
Okay. So we're going to talk about what your role is, but I'm going to try to let the jury understand from you what your role would not be. You're not a medical doctor that makes a medical diagnosis. Is that fair?
I'm not a medical doctor.
Okay. So I think one of the things the jury might want to know, are you going to be telling this jury whether Maya has or does not have CRPS?
I will not be speaking, confirming, or denying any medical diagnosis.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about pain scores, because the jury's heard a little bit about pain scores. How do you take a pain score from a child?
So with kids, it's more complicated because pain is subjective, and pain is very specific to the individual. So for kids, and for many people, we have a scale of 1 to 10. For kids, it has little faces next to it as well, where we say a 1 would be no pain, and a 10 would be the most pain you've ever felt, and ask them to give a rating or point to the smiley face along that pain scale.
Okay. So is it subjective?
It is subjective.
Okay. Well, what do you normally see in a child who's reporting 10 out of 10 pain?
In a child who would be experiencing a 10 out of 10 pain, that should be the most significant pain they've ever had. And so that would be, from my observation, something like lying on their bed, maybe curled up, not willing to speak, maybe feeling nauseous, vomiting, not even being able to speak, maybe even screaming because of the pain that they're experiencing being so severe.
You've had a chance to evaluate children who deal with chronic pain?
I have had some children with chronic pain in my practice.
Do children with chronic pain generally report higher or lower scores of their pain?
It really depends. Our pain is specific to who we are, and also our perception of that pain. And so when maybe someone says, I have a really high pain tolerance, they might rate their pain a little bit lower because their worst, most significant pain or their perception of that is higher than maybe someone who doesn't have that same perception of pain or understanding of their own pain.
So I'm going to ask you about some of your interactions with Maya and her family, okay? We're going to start, Clay, with Joint Exhibit 1001-3748, which is in evidence. If you could put that up, please. And we can probably focus in where your psychology consult note begins. Just sort of talking about this note, if you can tell the jury, what was your purpose of trying to meet with Maya on this day?
Yeah. This would have been the day that the consult would have been received by the psychology service to complete this request by our medical team. In this initial note, I'm looking here, I was meeting with the pain team to discuss the plan of care, and I introduced myself to the family. Oftentimes in these situations, there's numerous providers in and out of the room, so we were working to schedule a time so that we could speak all together.
And just so the jury's aware, is most of your practice on the campus inside the hospital, or is it off campus?
For my practice, primarily, I'm an outpatient provider, meaning that I do clinics that are in a separate building from the hospital. However, at this time, we had three psychologists, and we each rotated on call every week. And so when those times came up and a consult was received and I was on call, I would be inpatient for those required appointments, consultations, needs for my patients, and also outpatient during my clinic time as well.
Yeah. So during this first time that you had spent with the Kowalskis on 1010, did they ever express to you a desire to leave all channels?
No.
Okay. We'll talk to you about your next note. It's on Joint Exhibit 1001-3832.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always a risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always a risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always a risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always a risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always a risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
Moto Casino, America.
like a social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a reminder that your digital life is always at risk. Every day, hackers steal identities, drain bank accounts, and open fraudulent accounts. LifeLock is here with tips to help prevent you from becoming a victim. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication on your accounts, report scams, and update the software on your devices. And for peace of mind, get LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Plus, LifeLock plans include the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you to your plan's limits if you lose money due to identity theft. Stay smart, stay safe, and stay protected. Get comprehensive identity protection with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. That's LifeLock.com, promo code NEWS, for 30 days free. Terms apply.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.